Hello and welcome back to the official Scottish Rugby Podcast. I'm Jamie McMillan. Joining me on the show, as always, are Rachel Malcolm and Chris Patterson. And our special guests this week are Scotland interim head coach Mike Blair and Scotland under-20s captain Alex Samuel. Well, joining us on the podcast now is Mike Blair, who will lead Scotland in the upcoming summer tests. Mike, thank you very much for joining us. How are you?
Very well, thanks, Jamie. Nice to see you all.
Busy day, Mike. First announcement as interim head coach. Have you obviously announced to the press and have to field the questions, contact the players last night. So it's I suppose the first thing is it is a different role. It'll feel a different role to being an assistant coach. Is it take it in your stride, I assume?
It's interesting, Mossy. Actually, I've got a new respect for Gregor and the amount of stuff that he does now. I'm obviously doing this on a much smaller level. Gregor and Steve Tandy are still very much involved in the selection process, the meetings and what have you. But I am starting to realise the amount of stuff that you have to do. And today's probably my first day when I've been a little bit stressed, you know, trying to put together a backs attack presentation, a team attack presentation, a team welcome, trying to organise the other coaches for the scheduling of the weeks, the content of the training sessions. So even those are just the things coming off the top of my head that you have to deal with. And then the heads of departments then getting in touch with you, trying to find times to meet or get things signed off. So I basically just do kind of 50-50. Some of them I'll do a tick and some I'll do a cross and not really read them.
When does the squad come together?
So we start, this is dependent on Glasgow not getting to the final of the Rainbow Cup, which I think is unlikely, but there's still a mathematical chance. But it'll be Tuesday, the 15th of June. So we'll have Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday of that week. And then we go into a kind of normal match day week starting on that Monday evening because the A game's on the Sunday down in Leicester.
So obviously a lot of new names, younger players, some returning players with good international experience. Before that date, 15th of June, will you have a virtual meetup? Will you be in contact with everyone as a whole? Or is it just pretty much first meetings that, you know, once the kind of domestic games have concluded?
Yeah, first meeting the squad will definitely be the 15th. What we did last night is everyone got a call from the different coaches just to put them in the picture about selection. Some guys talk about, you know, their past couple of games. I'd imagine we'd have a couple of smaller group meetings. So Peter Murch is obviously coming as defence coach, so he'll meet up with some of his defence leaders. I'll catch up with the halfbacks as well, some of our attack players, about plans that we've got going forward so that when they arrive, they're able to start leading in their areas as well.
It is funny. I think maybe sometimes, because it's so long ago now for us, Mike and Rachel still, you maybe take for granted that feeling of your first involvement in terms of, because we've done it, you know, a few times since then, you forget how nerve-wracking and how difficult it can be in an international changing room with, you know, players you might play alongside or play against, but there's a lot of faces you won't know as well. So I assume that that's a big responsibility of the senior players or the I suppose, the more regular players for a lot of the young faces coming in, just to make it a welcoming environment.
Yeah, but it's a real blend of different players from different backgrounds. And probably because you've got that, I see us kind of gelling quite quickly. Mm-hmm. There won't be any hierarchy in terms of you know, age or experience or what have you. And I think everyone will just muck in and see the tour for what it was, and an opportunity to improve and kind of put a marker down for future games.
As well, like quite a few of those young players that you touched on, they have actually been involved in terms of a training capacity throughout this year. Do you think, you know, this is actually a really kind of nice way for them to potentially get their first chance playing for Scotland, whether it be Scotland A or Scotland, because it is maybe that kind of newer group and a newer environment?
I don't know whether it makes it an an easier proposition. Like we've got some really tough games coming up. But what I do see it as is obviously an opportunity where there's everyone mucking and everyone trying to impress each other. Like these slightly older players, they'll be wanting to show the younger players why they've had 7, 8, 9 year careers. The guys who are kind of Scotland regulars, they want to show everyone why they're Scotland regulars, and the young players want to prove that they're on this tour for a reason. So I think there's really good motivation going around for top performances within the squad.
So, Mike, if we look at the squad in more detail, we've talked around a lot of youth coming through, which is great. And we spoke yesterday. Sometimes in the past, people have classed these kind of tours as a development opportunity. But what you made very clear yesterday was this is more about keeping that momentum, isn't it? And keep the results from the previous year and a half going. Is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. It's easy to call this a development tour because of the amount of youngsters who are coming on or some of the inexperience. But like as I said yesterday, all camps, all tours are opportunities for us to develop. We see these guys as being capable of playing test rugby now. Yes, there's a view to the future as well, but we've got some tough games coming up, and we've got expectation for these players coming through, which they've created themselves by how they've played, but our expectation is that they'll be able to perform on the international level now.
You just have to look through the squad and have watched, you know, recent games. They're totally and utterly there in form, you know, all of them, uncapped players included especially. I don't get a sense, having watched a lot of these guys over the last few weeks, that anybody's there to develop. They're on merit. If you think some of the uncapped players, or Kyle Steen's got one cap, look at his form over the last few games. Cole Forbes, Russ Thompson, Rory Darge, Josh Bayliss, these guys and many more are really performing regardless of who's available. They would be knocking on the door. I assume that's been part of the selection discussions, Mike. These guys are on form and they're deserving their opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. You look at the squad of 37 and there's no one you're taking a punt on.
Yeah.
You know, the guys have had a good time on the pitch, and when they've been on the pitch, they've performed. So there's no one we're taking a punt on. There's quality there, and there's form there as well. The fact that some of these younger players, your Ross Thompsons, your Rufus McLean, for example, the fact that they've had these opportunities early, you know, they've grasped that. They've accepted the position that they're in, and they've grasped the opportunity. I mean, Ross Thompson, you know, hadn't been involved in a match day 23 with Glasgow. He was training on the back pitches. A couple injuries come along, and you think this is sink or swim time, and he's been fantastic. So it shows that we've got players in Scotland capable of making that step up.
There's a number of players as well there that are relatively, I guess, new to the squad who play down south. Have they been players that have been on the radar for a wee while now, or kind of more recently so?
Yeah, a lot of them have been there on the back burner for a while. Obviously, eight guys going away with the Lions opens up opportunities for us to explore a little bit of strength and depth. You look at Nick Otterack, Javen Sebastian, for example. These are guys who, you know, they're not young in terms of a rugby career, but they're young probably in terms of a front row forward. So 28, 29 years old, they'll be coming to some of their best rugby at the moment. And we've had our eye on them, and we've been impressed with what they're doing, and we want to see them at the next step up.
An important figure as well, Jamie Ritchie as captain. Everybody knows how good a player Jamie is, and how just a quality, you know, operator in terms of his leadership and his understanding and his desire and his everything that's good about a leader. I think it's brilliant for him to be named captain as well. Did you speak to him, or would Gregor speak to him and break the news? He would have taken that pretty well.
Yeah, Gregor spoke to him recently. I'm going to catch up with him tomorrow. It'll be an interesting one, actually, because like it's first time he's captain and first time I'm head coach, mm-hmm. and we're going to go out for a coffee and I want to see who, like, I'll give him an opportunity to pay for it. just to see where we're at kind of hierarchy wise. But James is a great guy. He's kind of old beyond his years in terms of how he is as a person. You know, he's got a couple of kids. He's mature. So he's been playing professional rugby for a long time. He's been involved in our leadership group for the last 18 months or so, maybe. Mm-hmm. So he's ready to make that step up as well. And he's got the respect of the group. He plays hard. He plays fair, and he'll do a great job.
And what do you expect? Well, I know what you're going to say, but from your opponents, England A to start with at Leicester first up, and then obviously travelling to Romania and Georgia, three totally different challenges, all, you know, stern in different ways. But I assume, you know, in terms of the squad, nobody's looking past that first game, that Scotland A versus England A at Leicester. What do you expect? How the kind of preparation's going for? What do you expect on the field? We've spoken a lot about off the field and the individuals, but will we see a continuation of how Scotland have been developing their game with a lot of these new players involved?
Yeah, the difficult thing probably first up is that we've got a group from different teams. Come in. We've got some guys who've had experience within the Scotland camp and some guys who haven't. Mm. So our job for that first week and leading into that first game is to get cohesion as quickly as we can. So guys getting to know each other on and off the pitch. I don't envisage it being hugely complicated what we're doing. That'll come as the tour develops. We've got another week's training after the England game before we go out to Romania. So that'll be, again, opportunity to build on a few things. But this it's a talented group of players who shouldn't need too much instruction. But we just want them to go out and play their game. And what's important for me is that I've got loads of ideas that I want to do or could do or probably shouldn't do. And my job, you know, and especially in that first up game, is to make things simple, make sure the guys understand what they're doing, so they're not overthinking, they're just playing the natural game. And then hopefully over the next couple of games and the training, I'll be able to add a little bit of what I'm about and a couple of new ideas maybe.
In Romania, we played in 2005. Jamie was asking earlier on, it was 2005, didn't we? It was a Lions tour, similar, wasn't it? And we went over and played one test in Romania, wasn't it? We didn't get off to the greatest start. We were 5-7-0 down, weren't we, after the first couple of minutes? Was that your fault?
2005, it wasn't my fault. Actually, I'll tell you what a funny story is. I mean, we're not going to have any supporters going over. But I remember before we went, Gordon Ross broke his hand. Remember we went for that like fun park thing? And there was like the bouncy castle and everything. You did the races and
West Lothian. It was before we left, wasn't it?
Simon
Webster done his knee going through the inflatable mangle, I remember.
Well, maybe him and Gordon Ross ran into each other. but Gordon Ross couldn't make it anyway. He broke his hand. I remember speaking to him and I said, oh, so, you know, what will you do your summer now? And he's like, oh, well, I've looked into flights. I might come over with a couple of mates and watch the game. I was like, oh, fair enough. I said, oh, how often do they fly to Bucharest? And he's like, I was like, how often do they fly to Bucharest? He's like, is it not Budapest? So fortunately, we had that conversation, which meant he didn't book a week in Hungary. I don't think we'll have any supporters coming over for our game, though, so we won't have any.
It was quite hostile, though, thinking back to that game, and it was hot, it was hostile. And these are all things that this young squad will have to deal with. And we didn't get off to the best start. We kind of loopy pass, bounced into their, I think, record try scorers armed, and scored. And it was 7-0 down, and we had to dig it. We won comfortably in the end, but great challenge for these players. And then Georgia the week after, they'll have a bit of payback from the the Autumn Nations Cup, or just before the Autumn Nations Cup, wasn't it? Because we put a decent scoreline on them at BT Murrayfield in November. So, yeah. So that'll be a motivation for them. And yeah, it'll be a big ask.
Yeah, they're continually improving. They ran Ireland pretty close that first half, wasn't it? Last, when November. Was that Autumn Nations?
I think it was, yeah.
And they're Georgia playing South Africa twice. The 2 weeks before we play against them. So they're going to be battle hardened, ready to go and wanting to go out and get a scalp. So yeah, it'll be a huge test for us. They're renowned obviously for their size of their pack, but they've got some speed and skill in the back line as well. So yeah, a real test. I think the Romania game's going to be at 9 o'clock in the evening, which is good. It'll have cooled down a little bit. Initial chat was it was going to be at 2 o'clock, which would have been a bit of fun. And I don't know the Georgia kickoff time yet, but hopefully it's late on so that the heat's got less of a factor.
Mike, we've talked a lot about what we expect from what you expect and the coaching team expect from the players involved on these summer fixtures. But, you know, a great opportunity for you as well. And what do you want to get out of this? Apart from wins on the pitch, what are you hoping to gain from this whole experience?
I want to enjoy it. I know that's might seem a strange thing to say, but I think with this kind of job that can be pressure on it, you can put lots of pressure for you to do everything perfectly and get everything absolutely right. But this is a huge privilege for me to get this position. I want to enjoy it. I want to, continue the momentum that the squad, that the coaches have created over the last 18 months and add to that as well. So, enjoy it. And I guess add a little bit of Mike Blair to the whole setup as well.
Brilliant. Mike, thank you so much for your time. We'll no doubt speak to you in the coming weeks when we get closer to that first test with England A down in Leicester. So thanks very much, Mike, and we'll speak to you soon.
Cheers.
Thanks, Mike.
Great to hear from interim head coach Mike Blair. Mossy, I know that you know Mike very well. You've played together and you've worked together very closely, but there's no denying that he, you know, coaching is something he's very passionate about. From your point of view, like, what type of coach will he be? How can you compare him to other coaches, or is Mike kind of will bring his own style?
He's really clever. You can hear, even in that kind of interview and chat we had with him there, we were bouncing questions quite kind of randomly at him, and you could see how much he thinks about the answers and how much depth he goes into in his answer in terms of the reason and the rationale behind players. He knows so much about rugby. You kind of laugh and joke about him and his quizzes, and he likes a quiz, but he has depth of rugby knowledge, and not just current rugby knowledge, like historical rugby knowledge, and his understanding of how the game was played, how he played, how teams that he played in played. I mean, you heard him talking about Kelly Brown's try, and you can remember the move that, you know, in a kind of jovial way, is good value, but it actually sums up his rugby brain and his rugby intelligence. Like, he is so deep in his knowledge and understanding. And he's got a brilliant rapport with the players. He's a coach who I would say is hands-on. Like, and he mentions his ideas and his whatever, but at the core of him is skills coaching, which is, you know, helping players improve, develop new skills, or develop, you know, existing skills, learn new skills that are all going to fit into the bigger part of his coaching and his structure and his attack. So it'll very much be a continuation of what Scotland have been doing over the last, you know, few years, 2 or 3 years with Gregor, when Mike's been heavily involved in that. He's a rugby nut, put it that way, that knows and understands the game, and he'll know how to interact with the players, and they'll enjoy it. It's a reasonably young, if you look through it, it's a reasonably young squad. There is experience in there, some experience as well as some youth, if you like, in the coaching stuff as well, so in the coaching squad as well. So it's a big challenge, but one that you can hear means a lot to him.
Well, joining us now on the podcast is Scotland Under-20 captain Alex Samuel. Alex, thank you so much for jumping on the podcast. It's not long until you guys get going down in Cardiff. So a simple question, you guys must be so looking forward to playing rugby again, yeah?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, everyone's buzzing. Just that's kind of like no one. We have guys who haven't played for like, I don't know, over a year now. So everyone's buzzing to get back in.
How have you been prepping in terms of, obviously some of you've played, some of you haven't played in over a year. How has kind of the coaching team kind of structured your training to get you match ready?
Yeah, so I think there were a few camps in like November, December time, just for guys who hadn't played at all to like get back up to speed. And then the academy guys came back in and like, I don't know, whenever the last camp was, we've had four camps now and yeah, it's been good.
So difficult, isn't it, to try and get continuity because everybody's, you know, naturally at different levels. I mean, you're obviously training a lot of time with Glasgow, the academy with Glasgow, with the national team up through the Six Nations as well. But if you take kind of you at that end of the schedule and other players who probably even struggling to get gym equipment and stuff, you know, during lockdown and through the early part of this season to train and keep up to speed. So it is really difficult, isn't it? So that means the camps that you've had recently, I think you've had three, haven't you? You know, two, three day camps and the two hitouts against England, the training games, they become really important. So for you as a leader, you're aware of how, you know, much or how little everyone's done. What's the focus for you? Is it just basically getting on the same page, getting some principles in and getting back on the field, or can you look further ahead than that?
No, I mean, it's just getting everyone game ready, really. Like, even the academy guys, most of us haven't played any games.
Yeah.
We've just been training. We've had the odd A game, but we've really just been training all year. So it's just about getting that continuity, everyone back, throwing rugby all around. And yeah.
And do you think that, does that generate a huge amount of excitement because you've almost been starved? Everybody's been starved of playing. Or does it maybe bring a fear of, let's hope we don't forget what we're doing here? You know, I assume it's the former, that excitement.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone's really excited. Even just talking to some of the academy guys in Glasgow, even just the last couple of weeks, it's been really good to play games and just get back actually playing because, I mean, everyone's just been training either themselves or with the pro team for, I don't know, a year. I mean, a couple of guys, the Edinburgh guys have had run-outs, but the majority of the squad's either been training by themselves or they've been in with the pro team, but not loads of game time.
And the two games you did play, you played England, or England Selects, didn't you, at Newcastle, which was really quite good. So it was a six-day turnaround between both to try and emulate what you're going to find in the Six Nations. Quite different games. The first one was reasonable conditions. The second one was wet and windy, wasn't it? So, you know, I saw both. The first one looked pretty good in spells. The second one, I think, was affected by the weather. But you're going to come across all these things. So what were the key things that the squad learned from getting the ability to play those two games?
I think we just the intensity we need to play at, the physicality of that level is, I mean, most of us haven't played 20s before. Mm-hmm. And just that understanding. And it was just good to get a run around and everyone to kind of figure out their roles and just, yeah.
When was the last time you would have played representative rugby? Because you're young for the 20s anyway. Would it be under 16s? Was your under 18 year affected by the pandemic as well?
Yeah, my under 18 year was cut short just before the Six Nations. Last one I would have played would have been, I played 18s in my under 17 year. Yeah. So that would be the last proper representative rugby. And I mean, a lot's changed since then, really. Like, it's, I don't know.
It's a pretty big step up then in terms of going from that to now captaining the under 20s. How do you feel about captaining?
I was buzzing when Sean told me. Like, I've not done loads of captaincy at like representative level, but I've always felt like I was a leader in the groups I was in. But yeah, I mean, I think last team I captained would have been like my Madras team at under 18s. But now I was really excited and it's a good opportunity.
And you were lucky enough to be involved training with the Six Nations squad, the full Six Nations squad for one of the weeks in February and March. How good is that as an experience? And B, how much do you think you'll try and take from there into your training camp with the under 20s?
Yeah, the experience was was unreal. Like, it's just good to learn from a load of new guys, because I mean, we've got lots of internationals at Glasgow, but there's loads of different ideas and stuff from loads of different clubs, and it was just really good to learn from the best, especially around like set piece stuff. And yeah, it was, and I mean, it's just about trying to push standards in the 20s camp, like especially around, I don't know, for me it's around set piece and line out, but you know, just generally making sure things are up to standard.
Yeah, and there's no doubt you're going to be, you know, in another camp, another kind of bubble environment where you're going to be down in Cardiff, you're going to be there in a condensed area for a long period of time. And I was chatting to Sean Lanine yesterday about it, Alex, and you know, the positive of that is the amount of time that you guys are going to get together in one go. You're really going to get to know each other. So as a captain, you're going to have to be thinking, it's going to be a really intense environment, but from your point of view, that's going to be really beneficial to get to know these guys at a different level, yeah?
Yeah, it's been good so far. Like, I mean, even just like socially over the last year, a lot of us haven't seen like even people our age that much. So, I mean, it's just good having the opportunity when, you know, lots of other people at different times haven't. Yeah, and I mean, there's already a social committee and stuff, and we're set up for loads of different activities while we're down there, so.
Well, Rachel, Mossy and Rachel both know how important the off-field stuff is as well. Some would say it's just as important as the on-field stuff, but yeah, it does play a huge role, because you are, you know, you're going to battle these guys and girls every weekend. So you have to understand each other and have that good rapport. If we just look at the opening fixture then, Alex, you know, Ireland up first. This year, more than most, is probably more challenging to plan ahead for teams. But anything you can let us know or what to expect from them?
I mean, it's hard to know, really. With there'll be an unknown, but I guess, you know, like all Ireland teams, they'll bring that physicality, that work rate around the corner, and just a big forward pack generally. And I mean, they had a good 20s last year, so you'd expect them to be strong. I think. I mean, Scotland last year when they played, and they felt like their first half hour, they just weren't in it, and they were just shell shocked. And then near the end of the game, kind of realized like we're good enough to beat these guys. So it's just about making sure we've got that belief and all that from the start.
Yeah, the Irish teams are always strong age group, aren't they? I saw this week as well. I think they'd played Leinster A. I think they've had two or three camps. Richie Murphy's the under 20s head coach, but he used to be skills coach and kicking coach, I think still is, with the national team, and previously Leinster. So he's a good lad, attack-minded player, but with that attack-minded mentality and the physicality, there will be a threat. But I'm not sure how they got on against, I think it was it a draw? Did you see or was he in that? I think it was a draw.
I don't know. We just kind of hear like rumours about these things. Yeah. It's none of the scores are announced, but I think I heard it was a draw.
Yeah. So they'll be battle-hardened. And it is, I mean, it's a Six Nations. It's Ireland followed by England, Italy, France, and then Wales. And each of the games are 6 days apart, consecutive weeks. So you're, you know, that's a big challenge for any team, let alone, you know, a team that includes players who haven't played a lot of games. They've not played one game in a year, some players, and you're going to play, you know, five in 5 weeks. But when you said it was a long time together, Jamie, it just underlined that Alex's mentality as a young person is totally different to mine as an old person, because all I could think was I would just get sick of everybody if I was in your pocket for 5 weeks. But that's because I got a lot, grumpy old guy.
There's a lot of alone time in COVID times though, so I, you suppose, know, you actually haven't got that much time together
to get around
in and around training, so yeah, just enough that you don't get annoyed at each other.
But Alex, you must be like, just you personally, like excited by this whole challenge, and you know, what are you looking forward to the most? And you know, we talk about, you know goals and ambitions for the championship itself. It's obviously to win on the pitch, but for you personally, what do you want to get out of this the next couple of weeks or the next month?
I mean, I just want to perform well, really. Just personally, I want to perform well and develop as a player and take on as much information as I can. But as a team, We just want to be competitive in every game and go out and give a good account of ourselves.
It's not that surprising though when you see how well Scotland under-20s have done over the last couple seasons. Particularly the last, I guess, is it last season? Can't even work out in COVID times. But the last time they played in the Six Nations, you know, they just got better and better as the tournament went on, and they did have those standout performances. So I guess from that point of view, do you take a bit of momentum and buzz from how well they've performed in the previous Six Nations?
Yeah, I think we do, especially with their last game. I mean, they played well, played really well, and they were saying they got better as they went on, and they were obviously unlucky not to go to the trophy, and that got cancelled. But I mean, yeah, I think you can feel the buzz, and like the guys who played last year and who had that experience down in Wales and all the games before, they were competitive as well. So we've talked a lot about kind of like getting the pride back in the 20s jersey, really, because I mean, obviously 2 years ago they got relegated, and we've talked about the kind of, it's a bit personal to get back and get a bit of respect back in that jersey.
Good.
No, well, we wish you all the best when it comes along, Alex. Thank you very much for joining us here on the podcast, and best of luck with the championship and captaincy. We wish you all the very best, and yeah, speak soon.
Cheers.
Thanks, Alex.
All the best.
Thanks, cheers.
Alex Samuel there talking about the upcoming Under-20s Championship down in Cardiff. You know, Rachel, current captain, Alex, current captain as well. It's great to hear him looking ahead. And I know we joked about it, that kind of, you know, off the pitch kind of stuff. But when you are in these kind of contained environments, Rachel, you know, your role in particular, how do you kind of form that kind of relationship with players when it is so restrictive, and how challenging as a captain is it to be a captain, I guess, when it is quite restricted?
You know, for me, the biggest thing about captaining is like building relationships, and that's with your players, with your management and stuff like that. And that allows, particularly, like I'd say that's probably been more evident this year than ever, because if you've got that relationship with, you know, your teammates, I mean, I'm not saying you have to be best friends with everyone, but you have to have an understanding of what people kind of makes them tick off the pitch, probably more so than on the pitch at the moment, because you are in that bubble format. So, you know, that's probably going to be a big challenge for them, because they haven't had as much time together as maybe us as a women's team or the men's national team have had. So it will be difficult, because there'll be different players deal with that whole environment differently. But it's, I guess, for them, a really exciting opportunity. You know, it's probably one they'll not have. I mean, we don't even play in that kind of environment really, other than World Cups, and as a senior side. So it's a really unique opportunity, and I'm sure, you know, the boys will just be super excited, because especially they haven't played in so long. So I think their issue is probably going to be keeping a bit of a lid on that excitement factor and staying focused and kind of seeing it as a bit of a marathon, not a sprint.
That's important, isn't it? Like when you ask the question, when was your real last representative stuff? Under 17s. You know, now you're going into an under 20 championship that'll have a lot of players who play in Guinness Pro 14 and Premiership rugby as well. I mean, international rugby, top 14 French players. So you're asking players who last, you know, national experience was under, you know, 16 years old, to play against players who are playing at the top level in European rugby, Champions Cup stuff as well. It is exactly that, Rachel. It's known that you can't just go blindly into the first 10 minutes and see what happens. You have to prepare for it, you have to plan for it, and you have to try and create an environment that makes it easier for these players who haven't experienced anything like it to go straight into international fixtures. And as I said before as well, there's what, 5 games in 5 weeks, you know, 6 days apart each one. It's a big ask. But also what we spoke about was, you know, historically the improvements over the time together, certainly over the last 3 or 4 years for the under-20s, we've all seen, you know, has been, you know, kind of evident. They get better and better and better the time they spend together. So with the camps they've had, with the hit-outs they've had against England, and the time they'll spend together in camps between now and then, it should set them up. But it ain't going to be easy. That's a big ask for our young players. And you know what? Good. Because our young players have to be exposed to difficult situations and figure it out with the support around them, and they'll love it. They'll absolutely love soaking up the experience and improving, and as you said, also putting our hand up for international selection in the coming 2 or 3 years, because there's a lot of the guys who have played over the last couple of years that are now in that squad, that national squad.
And this Thursday, Sean Lennon will name his squad to travel down to Cardiff for the Under-20s Championship, and I'm sure next week we'll talk about that squad in much more depth. Now, there's still rugby being played in the Pro 14 and in the Rainbow Cup. Up first for Glasgow Warriors, it is Leinster at home, 8:15 on Friday. Leinster's always a tough one, but there's still a chance that Glasgow Moss could qualify into the latter stage of the tournament.
Yeah, they need to win. They need to win well. It's a difficult situation because they won't know if they've reached the kind of final, because the kind of other teams that could potentially reach the final are more likely to reach the final play the next again weekend. But Glasgow can only go out and win. That's what they have to do. So they play a new Friday night Leinster. At home at Scotland off the back, a really good performance down at Dragons. It should really have been a win by more. Three tries, I think it was, I think it was three that were chalked off.
Yeah.
Quite rightly chalked off, but it shows the attacking intent, the confidence is there after, you know, the back-to-back wins against Edinburgh. You know, before that, a really disappointing game against Benetton. So they've found their structure, they've found that drive, that attacking intent, that desire and hunger back in defence. So the next challenge is the champions at home against Leinster. So if they want to, you know, obviously they want to progress to the final, they'll have to deal with this weekend first. So it's a bit of continuity to run into it, but it should be another good game.
And following Glasgow Warriors on Saturday, Rach, Edinburgh continue their Rainbow Cup journey. A bit of a mixed bag of results for Edinburgh across the whole season, I guess. And they've still got another couple of fixtures as well. But I guess important that they finish these last couple of games on a high.
Yeah, I think, like you say, like they've had a really tough season and it's been pretty up and down. And I think for them, they'll probably be glad they've got these last two games to go out and try and finish on a high and put in a performance which they're proud of, so that they can feel like they've got something from this season and give them that little bit of momentum just to get them started off into next season.
And finally, today the Scotland Women's Sevens squad was named ahead of the Rugby Europe Sevens Championship Series in Lisbon. A lot of your players, Scotland players, but also your rivals down south, Rach, have been named in that squad. You know, we've got Helen Nelson, Megan Gaffney and Chloe Rowley right off the back of her win at the weekend in the Premier 15s, but we won't talk about that in too much detail.
I'm buzzing for them, to be fair. Well-deserved win.
But yeah, great to see them involved in that tournament though, Rachel.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. You know, obviously we have girls within our squad who play across both codes, and which is a real tough ask, but these girls love the seventh season. It's absolutely not for me, but from my point of view, looking at the 15s, I think it's brilliant that we see some of our younger girls coming through and getting that exposure at sevens. The likes of Shona Campbell, Kareen Grant, who have been in and around the 15 squad this whole season, but maybe not got that match exposure. I think this will be a big step forward for them to get a little bit more exposure in an international jersey and push their game on. And like you mentioned, they've got the experience of Chloe and Helen Nelson coming back in from training with GB. And Jenny Maxwell, who's an absolute stalwart for Scotland Sevens, and I believe is leading the side as well. So it's a bit of a mixed squad in terms of experience and youth, but a really exciting one, and I'm sure they'll go well.
It's good for the GB squad members as well to get Sevens games under the belt in terms of putting a hand up for selection as well, isn't it? Like, it's, I remember a few months ago we spoke about how you can basically get selected. And I know they've been having training games and many tournaments within training, but it's a really good opportunity for, like say, Megan and Helen and Chloe to play, you know, tournament rugby.
Yeah, definitely. They had a tournament for GB two weekends ago. It would be. And they were all absolutely buzzing after it just to get some proper competitive games. So I think for them, they just see it as another opportunity to go out and get some games, because, I mean, I don't know what it feels like, but they talk about this sevens lungs situation that they can't get from anything but playing. So it's brilliant for them and you know, all the Scotland girls which have been involved with GB did us proud as well a few weeks ago, because they all played absolutely brilliantly. So yeah, no, just another really good opportunity for them to get some game time and push on.
Well, that's all from us this week on the official Scottish Rugby podcast. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back next week with more exclusive content.